The text for our sermon this morning, Colossians 4, verses 7 and 8. There we read this in God's Word from Paul as he finishes or draws to an end in his letter to the Colossians. Tychicus will tell you about all my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would speak to us and the scriptures recorded for our profit would be opened to us. May we see in the men of old, the men of faith, examples and encouragements for us today. May you please yourself to bring forth fruit from this word among these people, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When you meet your spouse at the end of the day, when you come in the house after work or after a trip, or when kids come home from school, when there's a reunion, just even on this small scale, when you see someone you have a great relationship with, what's typically one of the very first questions you ask? Think about that. What's typically one of the first questions you ask? Come home at the end of the day, you see someone, hi, how you doing? How was your day? How are you? Isn't that one of the most common questions? There's that appeal for information. And why do we want that information? Because we're in a relationship with that person. We want to know what they've been through, not so much that we can archive a chronology and put it in a time capsule, but so that we know how better to relate to them, how we might share with them their experience and share with them our experience and together be encouraged that the relationship might prosper. We're not after so much the raw information, but we have the goal to be loving, to be loved, and to improve the relationship. I think that's much the way that Paul felt as he heard of this group of Christians in this little town he hadn't been to. He hadn't seen these guys face to face. He had reports from that region. He knew what was happening in that little town of Colossae, to which he writes the letter to the Colossians. He knows that there were troubling false teachers in their midst telling them things that weren't so. And so he's written about that, laying out the doctrine and clarifying what they should do, how they should continue in the one they've heard of. Christ is sufficient. You don't need to add to him. Explaining to them their duties, sometimes very practically, as husbands and wives and as parents and as children, as slaves and masters. He's covered a lot of those bases, but there's still something more that he needs to do as a shepherd and as one who cares. He needs to reach out to them, to ask them, how was your day, and to have a presence there. But he can't go. He's a prisoner. He can't go to the Colossians. So what does he do? He sends his dear partner, a co-worker, a beloved brother, someone he trusts with that unusual name, Tychicus. He says, go. Take this letter, but you go. Let them know how we are. Ask them how they are. Love them. Encourage them on my behalf for the good of the kingdom in the glory of God. Paul turns to Tychicus because he thinks in him he can communicate those things that he wants. In him he can send encouragement and the saints can be encouraged. Tychicus is a man of encouragement, is he not? He's the one Paul asks to do this job, this important job. And not only carry a letter to the Colossians, but in that same neighborhood in the Lycus Valley, to find the city of Ephesus and the city of Laodicea, to carry letters to all of them, most likely. And even as Paul would write later to one of those churches, says, make sure to trade letters. Get the letter from Laodicea and read that one and swap. And there are similarities to some of the letters. We've seen that in Colossians and Ephesians, but there are some distinctions. Paul doesn't just send the mail. He sends a man of encouragement with those epistles. I'm anxious to have us just dwell over this fellow, Tychicus, and learn from him as a man of encouragement. Ask that question, how does one Christian encourage another? How can we do that? Kind of make some points and applications all at the same time. But first, let's ask who Tychicus is and see if we can answer that question in due order. And you see, I have some sermon note sheets for you in the bulletin. Who was Tychicus? Well, he was from Ephesus, most likely. He hails from that area, and as we piece together the information, he's mentioned five or six times in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, here, in a few other locations. He apparently encountered the gospel, encountered Paul in Ephesus when Paul came preaching, was most likely there when that riot erupted in Ephesus. You remember that? Quite a scene in the book of Acts. Paul gets out of town after that one. Tychicus probably went with him onto Macedonia in many of his travels. Indeed, one of the references is to Tychicus traveling with Paul. In fact, when they take up an offering in that area for the saints back in Jerusalem and go, Tychicus is the one who takes the offering, who goes with Paul. He's trustworthy, and that's recognized by the other believers. So he was with Paul. It was a quick study of the gospel and grew spiritually to a certain level of maturity that he was entrusted with much, having been faithful with little. He took that long journey to Jerusalem and was probably with Paul in the temple courts when the ruckus came up and Paul was arrested and the Romans rescue him from the Jews and then send him down to sit before Felix and Festus. And then when Paul appeals to Rome, to travel with Paul to Rome by ship. Tychicus was there. And you remember, before they even left on that ship, they were in holding cells for a couple of years, waiting to be heard. And Agrippa has his two cents and all of that. Hearing Paul's speech, ministering to Paul as one who was free to come and go. Tychicus was there and was faithful. And then traveling with Paul and Luke on that ship towards Rome. That ship didn't make it. Got as far as Malta after a storm and was shipwrecked. None were lost except for the ship. Tychicus was there. He'd been present in much danger. He'd been present in much delightful times of worship and teaching there as a disciple of Paul and eventually as a co-worker. As Paul says, a beloved brother, a fellow minister, and indeed a fellow servant in the Lord. Tychicus was a sharp guy. He was a godly guy. He was filled with the Spirit and fruitful for Paul to use such strong language of him. So when Paul needs to reach out and help these Colossians, he looks to Tychicus, a Christian from Ephesus, who was a companion and a co-worker with Paul. And thirdly, because of Paul giving him this mission, Tychicus is a messenger and servant of the church. Paul really wanted to meet the needs of those in Colossae, and as we said, sends Tychicus. Well, as Tychicus goes, what do we see of him that speaks of encouragement? Because let's take up this question. How does one Christian encourage another? There are many ways to answer that. The Scripture is filled with approaches. But looking at this particular context and sending of a person, we can come up with at least five answers, I think. Because this is Paul's great goal, is to see them encouraged as he speaks of that. The first I see here is sharing in salvation by grace. Sharing in salvation by grace in Christ Jesus. One Christian meets another Christian and they share a common faith. You're a Christian, I'm a Christian. I've had my life turned around by the grace of God. I was something else and now I am this in the Lord, a servant of Christ. Tychicus is called a beloved brother. He wasn't a brother of Paul's in the flesh, was he? How is he a brother of Paul? I've seen how brothers behave. How do they get to be brothers? Well, they grow up in the same family. Paul and Tychicus were in the family of God by the grace of God. They were both believers. Encouragement begins with that shared experience of the grace of God. Isn't it wonderful to speak of the church and fellow believers as brothers, as sisters? Isn't it sweet to meet new acquaintances? And when you find out they're a Christian, there is that sense There's something there very quickly that might not otherwise be there with a new acquaintance if they're a believer. It's a blessing to hear that God's grace is at work in others. It's not just some idea you've dreamed up to deal with your guilt. There is forgiveness. There is cleansing. There is delight. There's hope. There's a peace that passes understanding that only other believers know. And to meet another believer is to confirm that. Paul had written to these Colossians back in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, some very clear and helpful words. He said, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive." But as he has those goals for them, and he can't come to them, he says, "I have sent Him to you for this purpose, that you may be encouraged." The presence of other believers moves us along that path. Paul said, rooted and built up in Christ, established in the faith, just as you were taught. As one Christian points another Christian in the direction of grace. Sending this letter with Tychicus was Paul's way to begin encouraging them. He sends another believer. He just doesn't post it in the mail or in the ancient UPS. He sends it by the hand of another believer. Second way one Christian encourages another is sharing the word of God. When Tychicus arrived, he brought with him this epistle from one of the apostles. An epistle is a letter written by an apostle. There's some vocabulary for you. He brought with them the word of God through St. Paul. And as they read these letters, even as Peter would describe them as the things of God in these letters, they received much help and much encouragement. Do you remember the two disciples the day of the resurrection of our Lord, who were leaving Jerusalem and walking out of town, off to a road to Emmaus? These disciples were kind of shuffling their feet, kicking up dust, kicking rocks, you know, kind of moping. They were sad. And Jesus comes along and he says, "Why are you sad?" And he didn't make himself known to them. He was being anonymous. And Luke 24 has the story. They said, "Oh, haven't you heard? And Jesus was crucified, and it's been 3 days since that happened." And their hearts were grieving. And he begins to explain to them things about the Lord from the Scriptures. And later on, they invite him to have a meal, and he has a meal with them. And then their eyes are open. They perceive it's Jesus, and he disappears from their midst. So they run back to Jerusalem. And they say this, Luke 24, verse 32. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the Scriptures?" The word encouragement is really, literally, to impart strength to the heart. If you know your Latin, you can even see it a little bit in the English word, encouragement. How are we encouraged? It's when we share the word of God one with another. And from the lips of Jesus on the road to Emmaus with those two discouraged disciples, as he opened up the Scriptures and spoke of Jesus Christ, gave them a sermon or a Sunday school lesson, if you want to put it that way, their hearts were warmed and encouraged and strengthened. They became more vital through that fellowship, through that sharing of the word of God. One thing that is sadly often presumed or assumed when Christians are together, even in this fellowship, is that we all are being fed by the Word of God. We often don't talk about what we're reading. We often don't share what we're learning. We need to do that all the more, that one another might be encouraged. "Wow, he's really getting a lot out of his Bible. I'm going to hang in there with my devotions, and I'm going to look for that." Many, many a time I will hear from one brother or sister in Christ a scripture, and lo and behold, within the next day or two, I need to use that with someone else, or I need it myself. I'm encouraged when people share scripture with me. Aren't you encouraged when someone shares how God's word is ministered to them? Be like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Let your heart be warmed and be encouraged. A third way one Christian might encourage another that Tychicus kind of points us towards is sharing in service in the cause of Christ. Tychicus is described here in a couple of ways. He's described as a faithful minister, a servant, fellow servant to Paul. Paul's service, Paul's calling was hard. Very few would dare go with him where he went. Very few would last long following Paul. But Tychicus was with him, sharing and serving the kingdom. The word for servant here is diakonos, from which we get our English word deacon. And some even surmise that Tychicus had an office, kind of like we might call somebody, this is my right-hand man, or this is my lieutenant, this is my servant. And perhaps he was serving as a deacon to Paul's practical needs, and Paul was like an elder wherever he went. And that beautiful relationship which exists in the local church was being copied by these missionaries. I don't know that we can press it into creating it, saying that he was in office. It would be a little unusual, but he was a servant in that like manner. He was one who would execute the commands of another, says the lexicon. A servant, an attendant, a minister, just like the servant of a king. And serving in practical ways. It's interesting when Jesus wants to commend believers in the last day, when he's separating the sheep and the goats, and when he's speaking to things as the Lord himself taught. They will say, Lord, when did we ever see you naked? And when did we ever see you thirsty that we gave you clothes or we gave you drink? He said, whenever you did it to the least of one of these, you did it unto me. A servant, the diakonos, would be one who waits on tables, one who fetches the water, one who takes out the chamber pot, one who does these practical things. If you're blessed by the letters of Paul, think of this. He was most likely freed up to write, to hear the Spirit and to respond, be used of God, because he had someone like Tychicus with him to help him. I think of that. How does it get done? Paul was encouraged. Paul sent Tychicus to encourage the Colossians because he would not only bring a letter, he would not only bring a greeting, he would be there to wait upon them, to serve God's people there. Why else would Paul commend him not only as a fellow minister and a servant, but to let them know that they're not getting a celebrity who needs to be entertained? It's not like fine china and linen and be on your best behavior because he's someone important. Rather, when he comes, lean on him. Let him serve you. He's a mature Christian. He understands how sharing and serving brings encouragement. A fourth way one Christian might encourage another is sharing your experience of past mercy. Sharing your experiences of past mercy. I think it's very important to the health of this local congregation that on Sunday nights we take just a few minutes for people to share, to give a testimony. We have very few miracles to report, but in the mundane things of life we find God's faithfulness and His blessing, often answers to prayer, and fruit from His Word and the fellowship of believers. There's some sweet things that are shared, and those are shared to the encouragement of many. God took mercy on me when I nearly had this car accident or something awful almost happened to me, but I'm here to tell about it. Giving God the glory is what we ought to do. It encourages other saints. Reminds us that the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's ever watchful. Tychicus had traveled with Paul, as we said. He'd been shipwrecked. He was there when the great disruption was in Ephesus and in the temple. He had seen really the worst that the world and nature can dish out on God's people. And he was a witness to the power of God's grace, the preserving and keeping power. What was it Jesus said in his prayers to the Father? He says, here I am, and those that you've given me, none is missing. Or when he taught his disciples about the good shepherd, he said, no one can snatch you out of my hand. those kinds of thoughts. Tychicus saw that kind of thing happening in his own life and in the life of Paul. So when he went to Colossae, he could tell these people, yeah, I know it's hard to hold the line against false teachers and all these pressures, but whatever the world can send your way, God is greater. Share your experiences of past mercy and grace. Speak firsthand for the encouragement of others. Let me mention a fifth way one Christian could encourage another as we look at this text from Colossians 4. Perhaps this was the most important way, and we ought not to forget it. Sharing information. Sharing information, parentheses, with a godly perspective. Sharing information. The church in Colossae heard of Paul when he was nearby in Ephesus. They heard of the revival there. Someone from Ephesus, Epaphroditus, had most likely come up to Colossae and preached and formed a little church. And they were going gung-ho until these false teachers started to cause a little bit of confusion and things might be a little shaky in Colossae. Oh, that somebody could come back and help them. Where's that Paul fellow? Oh, what? He's in prison. But the God who did these powerful things has his servant in prison, shipwrecked on his way. What's going on? Immature believers, young believers, the fragile church in Colossae had a lot of questions. And questions without answers often lead to doubts. Doubts, if not answered, often leads to despair. These are not good things. And you don't need a whole church in the ancient world to experience those things in your own life. When you wonder, where is God when I need Him? Why is this difficulty coming my way? How can my theology explain that? You need information. And when you don't have information, there are other ways to address those things. But here the point, Tychicus is displaying to us that when Paul wanted to encourage these saints in Colossae, he sent them information. Back to our text. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. I think the King James says, well, explain my estate. He's a beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. That expression about reporting how we are, certain things about us, is used in other places in the Bible. In fact, when Paul had been taken out of Jerusalem before he went to Rome and was down in Caesarea, and Felix and Festus were kind of holding him in, well, he was in limbo, and then Agrippa comes. There's that little phrase, I forget the exact wording of it in Acts. It says, Felix or Festus reported to Agrippa all about Paul. The same phrase here. Give me the facts. What's the scoop? What's this guy's story? Of course, a Roman might report to another Roman facts in a certain light. Here, it was a Christian reporting to other Christians the facts from a godly perspective, trying to answer some of their questions. This is where Paul is, and you know what? He still has a ministry. In fact, he's been more prolific since he was arrested and in Rome than he has been in a while. And here's a letter. And we have this beautiful letter to the Colossians. Oh, and you should read the one that the Ephesians got. You'll have to get that. That's great. He's explaining that Paul's not down and out. He's down and faithful and still ministering. And he can't be here, but he sent me. Here's some information. It's interesting. J. Adams, who's well known for being a biblical counselor and training biblical counselors, J. E. Adams, I commend to you wholeheartedly what he's written. He actually has a set of commentaries on a lot of books of the Bible from a counselor's perspective, from a pastor's perspective. Great stuff. On this text, J. Adams says this, Tychicus would also bring good news and a slant on the not-so-good news that would be encouraging to the readers. To put the biblical, that is encouraging, face on bad news, as well as spread the obvious good news, is an important function of Christ's faithful servants. The world puts its own spin on reality, don't they? Oh yeah, Jesus is Lord, where is He now? Where is the sign of His coming? You remember Peter getting all these charges thrown at him? Where is he? It's been a while. I don't think he's coming back. That's the world's slant on the church age. What's the biblical slant? If you've never heard it, it's this. speaking of the fullness of time. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons, but to be faithful, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost ends of the earth. He's given us a commission and a task and a time frame for the gathering in of the elect, all the sheep from all the places where He wants to gather them into one flock. And when the job's done, He'll be back. That's the biblical slant. And frankly, I'm glad He didn't come before 1978, because I had not yet been gathered in. As I raise my family, I'm thankful for these years of witnessing to them and sharing with my children the gospel. As these children grow to know Jesus Christ, that He tarry gives us hope that more and more might be gathered in, because there's only one name given among men by which we might be right with God, the name of Jesus. Without Jesus, no hope of heaven, no Savior. But the main point how one Christian might encourage another is with information from a godly perspective. There's all sorts of footnotes we could add to this if we had the time. You have to be careful of rumors and gossip. Oh, did you hear what happened to so-and-so, the famous preacher? No, what happened? Well, I read in the National Enquirer that we have to be careful what information we take in. I've learned from being interviewed in television and in the newspapers that, well, I better not go on record, 20, 30% of the quotes are mangled. I never said that. Where did they get that idea? And these are reporters with recorders and notepads. And it's small things. We have to be careful of the sources of our information. And when possible, from faithful men, get the truth and be encouraged. As we pray for some of these countries around the world, I was thinking back to some people I met from the Ukraine, and they hadn't known of any evangelicals. I'd never heard that there are many evangelicals going on in the Ukraine. But lo and behold, through my friend Ian Murray and through others, oh, there are whole seminaries in the Ukraine. Places where godly men and women are being trained up to do their part in the local church. And I was so encouraged to hear from someone who's actually been there and taught classes. The church is growing in places like the Ukraine. I was ignorant. I was discouraged until I had that information. Think of the Old Testament prophet. He was serving the Lord, but one day he kind of sat down and says, "Woe am I, I'm the last guy. I'm it. God doesn't even have a remnant." God says, "Attention in aisle one. I have a remnant. Get up. Here's some information for you. I have over 4,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. What are you moping about? Here's some information. Be encouraged." I was encouraged the other day, a gentleman from the community I was meeting with, I happened to say that, "Oh, well, when I usually have meetings, I'm so used to praying at the beginning of a meeting." He says, "Go right ahead. I'm a Christian. I go to that church over there with me and my boys." I was so encouraged by that information. There are ways we can encourage one another. Paul knew that. So Paul tries to put them into a package, Tychicus. I think if we were to take up Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, I would see Tychicus not just as Mr. Encouragement, but as faithful. Do you remember the story? The one who goes with Christian, helps him out, faithful. I commend to you Pilgrim's Progress. I won't have time to say more of that illustration. Well, let me move to the last section. What do we learn? The next section. What do we learn here? Here's four things. What do we learn? Number one, and these first two are also emphasized in the book by Kent Hughes on Colossians. Number one, small things done for Christ can be significant. Small things can be big things when they're done for Christ. That ought to encourage every person in this room. Some of you don't teach Sunday school. Some of you don't come up front to make announcements. Some of you don't punch holes in the church kitchen and patch them up again. And maybe you think that's not a big deal. Some of us, that's a big deal. But whatever you do, whether you think it's small or great, it can have greatness and significance. Are you glad we have the letter to the Colossians? Are you glad that it was delivered and preserved? Tychicus brought it. Someone there began making copies of it. And people were faithful with those copies. We don't have the originals of the Bible, but we have so many copies. We are confident we know what the original said. What would be the use of Paul writing that epistle if it was never delivered, never cared for, never kept? There are different tasks. Paul's writing the epistle. Tychicus is the delivery man, so to speak. But they were co-workers and partners. The metaphor of the body of Christ ought to come to mind. Small things play their part. What did Jesus say in Matthew 23, verse 11? He said this, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." How does Jesus look on Tychicus? Jesus said in Mark 9:35, when the disciples were arguing, he sat down and he called the 12 together and said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and a servant of all." Jesus says there's something significant about being the servant, giving yourself to the small things. Don't listen to the world. Those things are significant. We know Kent Hughes raises the question that's kind of humorous. You know, one of the first men to fly an airplane across the Atlantic, what was his name? Charles Lindbergh? You remember that? Mechanic. You know, who's the guy who topped off the gas tank? Or if you want to use a modern example, guys, you know, you're football fans, you know, Green Bay Packers have won a lot of football games, Brett Favre throwing the touchdowns. Who hiked the ball to him? Well, I know the name, you know the name. But we don't always know the name of the small role players that make the big things happen. Small things done for Christ can be great, they can be significant. Number two, momentary things done for Christ can be eternal. Something that is just done once and passes, it seems like it's only a momentary thing, it can have eternal consequences. You know, you go back to the Lycus Valley in Turkey where Colossae was, there's only some ruins there, there isn't a vibrant church there at all, even though Paul had sent them this letter. But in its day, the church flourished and was stronger because of this letter. They faithfully preserved this letter and passed it on to others. The kingdom of God benefited because of all that, as momentary as it was. And as Kent Hughes writes, the letters which Tychicus bore to Asia would outlast the Roman Empire. Tychicus' name would be known until the end of time. The world may not see our part, it rarely does, but God does. And God says, "I will never forget their works." We should also learn, thirdly, that companionship with other believers is vital. Companionship with other believers is vital. If you're not familiar with the wise saying of Ecclesiastes 4, look it up this afternoon. It says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And although a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Two are better than one. Companionship is important. It's vital to your spiritual growth that you be with other believers, leaning upon them and letting them lean upon you. Why was it Jesus sent out his disciples two by two? Why did he do that? Because two are better than one. Why was it Paul, later on in chapter 4, as he gets near the end of his letter, says, "I was encouraged when these guys showed up"? Paul knows that companions are important. It may sound harsh, but let me leave you with this little slogan. If you're a Christian loner, you're the loser. You're missing vital benefits. It's not just Jesus and my Bible and my radio ministry. I don't really even need to go to church. I'm just going to listen to sermons on the radio or the internet. I'm going to live my life by myself. You're the loser. You're missing out on the companionship and the camaraderie and the benefits of the body of Christ. God is at work here. He gives pastors and teachers gifts to the church. And you need the companionship of these believers, my friend. The fourth lesson to be learned is encouragement is worth intentional effort. Or you can just put the word effort. But intentional is the important word. Encouragement is something we should aim at. Encouragement is something we should schedule and plan and undertake. It was important enough to Paul to give his right-hand man, his lieutenant, Tychicus, to another group of people. It's one thing to write a letter, it's another thing to break up your staff. A little bit of sacrifice for the sake of encouragement. It was worth it. Earlier when we got to Colossians 2, you heard these words, Colossians 2 verses 1 through 5. And hear Paul's passion for these people. And listen to see if Paul is a mere talker or a doer. He says in Colossians 2, verse 1, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding and the knowledge of God, God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden in all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, not in the false teachers, in Christ. In verse 4 and 5, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Yet Paul is struggling. How is he struggling? He's in chains. He's struggling in prayer. He's struggling in spirit. I wish I could help them. I wish I could encourage them. What does he do? He takes some steps to do something. He not only prays, which is doing something, but he gives them Tychicus. He sends them a letter. He does something specific. Intentions become effort and action. My friends, we can sit and pray for one another in our homes. That is good. We must be doing that. But we must not just sit in our homes. We must encourage one another and meet one another's needs. So there's a conclusion to this in the outline. There is. For our great example and our great help in all these things is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the one who left the comforts of heaven and the glories there, did not count them as something to be grasped or flaunted, emptied Himself of those things, came, dwelt among us to teach us, to tell us of the Father, and to do more than just talk and give us information in God's perspective. He gives of Himself. He serves Him. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many, says the Scriptures. That one laid down His life, not merely for our encouragement, for our salvation. You want to know what love is? You want to know what living is, rightly? Look to Christ and see it displayed there. The one who has spoken to us many times, I tell you the truth, do not be afraid. I'm with you always. He's our model. One with another. If we are Christ's disciples, students of that one, how do we engage one another? How do we care? Are we Christ's companion and encouragers to others? I pray it be so. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for these thoughts that arise from Your Word about a man that we may not have known before today, who can become for us a lesson on encouragement, imparting strength to the hearts of others. And even as we plan to do that, others are planning to impart strength to our hearts. Oh, how beautiful are Your dwelling places. How sweet it is to be among believers in this place or in any place, Lord. Prosper the church. Protect the church. Encourage the church. Build us up that we might be obedient to the model and examples You've given us in Your Word. May we be found faithful at the second coming of Christ. For indeed He comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word of caution is those that the Spirit burdens to